Our scripture is very brief and to the point. Paul is praying and he's asking for a very specific gift from God. He prays that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that's what we're going to think about today on this Easter Sunday. Knowing Christ and subsequently knowing the power of his resurrection. That's why you've come. That's what we're all searching for. And by God's grace, a human being cannot give it to you, but he can. And if you'll believe with me in these next few moments, this gift of resurrection power could become ours. And we could march out into the world tomorrow morning, different people. Different because perhaps we met Christ for the first time. Different because we as Christians turned on for the first time. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we love you for sending your Son Jesus and making it possible for him to be with us today through the Holy Spirit. We know that there is nothing that a human being can do to capture the power of Easter. Lord, we look to you, therefore, as birds in a nest with our mouths open, asking you to feed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listening to people respond to the Easter message through the years has led me to believe that eternal life, which is the usual subject of Easter morning, is relevant only to those in whom Christ Jesus has already wrought a miracle. The miracle of bringing so much joy and purpose in simply being alive that one couldn't possibly conceive of life ceasing at death. The other side of that affirmation would be to say life for many people is so fouled up and chaotic, it would be sadistic to come to church on Easter morning and hear the good news that this chaos is going to go on forever, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be good news at all. Therefore, today, we're going to deal with a very practical question. What are the tangible benefits for my life now because Jesus is alive? Such a question implies that we're going to deal with more than a mere promise of survival after death. We're going to talk about more than platitudes about heaven. Most of us need an escape right now from the rut of just existing. We're looking for a power that can carve some meaning into this phenomenon we call life. And above all, we're looking for hope that will assure us that beyond all the sweat and tears and struggles and joys in living, we're going somewhere. It has a purpose. And it's to these needs that Paul the Apostle offers resurrection power, and he says, "Oh God, that I might know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection." Christian living becomes practical, believable, and workable when it's rooted in the two requests of this text, and those I want you to take home with you today: knowing Christ as Savior and living with the support system of his resurrection power. That, in a nutshell, is what Christianity is all about. A friend of mine recently articulated to me in an honest moment a clear description of why I believe this sermon is needed. She said, "Life has become unfun." She coined a word. It's a good one. "Even though I have everything I ever dreamed about materially, I couldn't recommend my life to anyone. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have it together. What's wrong? I don't want it to be this way." She needs resurrection power. And so do many of us. A power that can become a hook upon which we can hang all of the frustration, fears, and defeats that we encounter. A hand bigger than our own that will help us cope when we face impossible situations. A force that will enable us to win victories rather than simply bear burdens, which is the testimony of so many Christians. We're great burden bearers, but we're horrible conquerors. And therefore, many of us would characterize ourselves as being caught in unfun living. But this is not the norm of Christianity. It is not the will of God. And resurrection power is available today to break that rut. One implication of saying Jesus is alive is that he stands ready today at the portal of your life, ready to bring joy, power, to offset your weakness, to put zest and expectation and purpose onto the workbench of your daily existence. He offers these as tools so that by the power of the Spirit you can carve out some meaning into the beautiful raw material we call life. Think for a moment. How contagious is that person whose personality radiates something we don't have? The practical presence of Jesus Christ, whose face just tells you when you're with them that they've plugged into a power I don't have. And that in spite of the circumstances around them, they're on top of things, and we've got to reach out and say, I want that. They have a light ignited in their eyes and hope in their hearts that we've always dreamed about being a potential, but it's never become an actuality for us. Well, such a person is daily injected with a faith that radiates because she or he is witnessing resurrection power. What kind of resurrection power? What do you mean, witness? Well, things like this. They see the miracle of their unhappiness being resurrected into joy, their loneliness into friendship, their deception into honesty, their lust into purity, their despair into hope, their hatred into love. These are the constant resurrection forces at work in the life of the Christian. Resurrection power overcomes the crippling habits and attitudes today that might just be choking the life and the joy right out of you. Resurrection power can conquer the fear and guilt that hangs heavily on some of our shoulders. Now, before we go any further, don't be confused. Paul isn't talking about some happiness cult. That's not what Christ offers. Some way to just be happy. In fact, Paul never mentions the word happiness. Jesus himself never promised happiness. You know what he said? He gave us just the opposite. He said, in the world, you're going to have a lot of tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. How? Through resurrection power. Resurrection power is a thrust, then, that meets you living in a real world with real problems and hurts. It's not an escape hatch by which you can live in some happiness land through positive thinking. Now, with that basis, would a power that meets you in life and accomplishes some of these things about which we've been talking, does that seem attractive to you? Do you feel you need it? Well, the good news of Easter is that because our Lord is alive, he means what he says. He can give you his power to meet you right where you are with the needs you brought into church this morning. There's only two conditions. You have to really want it, and you have to be willing to pay the price. Now, let's look at our text there. Resurrection power is intimately related to what? Paul prays not first for power, but that I might know him. Before we can find his power, we have to know Jesus Christ as alive, as a person, as someone with whom we can relate, who knows me by name, how many hairs are on my head, what hurts are in my heart. We have to trust him as Savior, and then once we know him as Savior, trust him. In that verse, Paul puts it so beautifully, if God loved us enough to give us his Son, won't he with his Son give us everything else we need? That's trust. Many of us take the first step, we trust Jesus to be our Savior, but we live an unfun life because we've never trusted him to sustain us in this life. And that's why we have defeated Christians. Today, Jesus wants to break that shackle and put you in that great company of liberated, healed, changed, filled persons who historically have walked down the halls of history shouting, we are more than conquerors. Thanks be to God who is giving us the victory over life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you find it? If it's attractive to you, how do you appropriate resurrection power? Two words in our text are key, know and power. First, Paul says, that I may know. This is a very pregnant word. Knowledge for the Hebrew mind was not abstract idealism of what might be. It was not intellectual game playing in which we just sit down and think about it. Knowledge in Paul's mind was always rooted in what you potentially could experience firsthand, something you could handle and use. So when Paul prayed that I may know him, that is Christ, he was asking, I want to know Jesus as a person who's alive, not some historical figure who gave me a moral philosophy to think about. I want him. I want to put my arms around him and know him and his power. I want to experience it. So knowing Christ of necessity implies more than intellectual acquaintance with the Jesus of history. And that's the difference between somebody who knows Jesus in books and a Christian who knows him as a risen Lord. And Paul says, don't try to get resurrection power to cope with life if you leave out knowing Jesus. It won't work. You've got to know him. Once you know Jesus as Savior, his power comes. There's one other verse that perhaps helps us understand this word know. It's a favorite of Christians. We quote it, few believe it. Romans 8:28. Paul says, for we know that in everything God works for good. What was he saying? He was affirming that he knew, not because he was verbalizing some faith cliche. He wasn't using religious jargon. He knew because he had experienced himself the truth that God can and does work everything for good. He knew it because it had happened to him. That's what Paul means when he uses the word know. Therefore, when he talks now of knowing resurrection power, he's talking about the potential of experiencing firsthand the same power that raised a dead body out of the grave. He says we can have that operative in our life today as disciples of Christ. In fact, not only could we must be before we know it. It must be operational. Now, a second word is power. Power in the original refers to a special kind of power. It's kind of fun to trace these words back and find out what Paul was thinking about when he used the term. This kind of power referred to that happening that brings about miracles, an explosion that makes you stand in awe and wonder when you see it going on. Our English word dynamite is rooted in the Greek word dunamis, or power. A modern analogy of the kind of power Paul is talking about would be what happens if you ever were by chance visiting Hawaii and a volcano erupted and you stand back in awe at a power so much bigger than you are. Or if you've been in California a while, if you've ever been through an earthquake, you know the kind of power Paul's talking about that makes you stand in awe and wonder. Putting know and power together, our text is making a very remarkable offer. Paul says, if you want to, you can plug your mortal, limited, earthly life into a power so great that when you really experience it firsthand, it's going to make you stand back in awe and wonder, claiming, praise the Lord. I couldn't have handled this situation in my own strength in a million years. It was impossible. God did it using the same power by which he raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. That's what resurrection power is when it's operational. Well, let's not even leave it there. I'm very desirous by the God's grace to give you something to take home rather than something to think about. Paul was too. And he modeled in his life specifically what he prayed for. His prayer was answered. He knew resurrection power. I'd like to have us think about four benefits through Paul that he received because he plugged into this power. First, Paul discovered contentment, freedom from restlessness. Does that sound like a dream? To reach a point in your life where you're really happy with everything right now, good and bad, you're at peace. Well, it wasn't a dream for Paul. Listen to him. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Can you imagine the release of being unshackled from a restless, discontented spirit? How many Christians do you know who have ever had that freedom? Do you have it today? This is resurrection power. It's for you. If you don't have it, it means you haven't sought it. A second benefit the apostle discovered from resurrection power was security in God's sufficiency to meet his needs. What would you give this morning for a security that would sustain you when you came to the end of your rope and would enable you to tie a knot and hold on rather than panic? That's priceless. Heard last week an advertisement for a new housing community in San Francisco that guarantees you physical security. They have a camera that scans your apartment every 6 seconds, a button to push if you have a heart attack so your doctor comes in the ambulance at the same time. The world is looking for security. Paul found it. We're afflicted in every way, he says, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. That's resurrection power. And it's available for you. A third benefit Paul derived from using this power, and this is so vital, he found the means by which to accept himself as a person. Even though he had a past that at times would haunt him and make him cry out even as he was writing, "I'm the chief of sinners, what am I doing in the ministry?" Because of Christ's power within him, Paul could later say about himself these words that are so liberating: "By the grace of God, I am what I am." He had found a means by which to stop wallowing in the guilt of the past, to stop measuring his worth as a person by comparing himself with someone else. He came to know he was eternally loved and treasured unconditionally by his heavenly Father, and that the blood of Jesus had erased his past. That he could stand one day before a holy God and all the Father would see would be the righteousness of his Son. And that had freed him to be himself and stop putting the price tag of zero because of his past on his worth. Grounded in this firsthand experience, Paul gave this benefit that I share with you with all the joy and potential I could possibly express. This is what happened to Paul. It's what can happen to you. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. How would you like that to happen in your life today? All the mistakes and the foul-up of the past gone forever. Beginning Easter morning 1977, you have a new beginning. That's resurrection power. And it's yours, if you want it. A fourth benefit Paul discovered was his liberation from fear, and specifically the fear of death. And I identify with this one. I want it desperately in my life. Having defeated fear, you see, Paul became incredibly courageous. I marvel at the man. Remember in the book of Acts, he was nearly stoned to death. He'd been preaching in the town. They just got sick of hearing him, and they pulled him out and stoned him and left him for dead. Paul got up on his feet after that scene and walked into the next town and preached again. He absolutely couldn't be defeated. When shipwrecked, he was the only one of some 400 souls who kept his cool. When it came time for him to face death, his friends urged him, "Don't go to Jerusalem because you know you're going to be arrested and killed." And remember what he said, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. I don't count my life dear to myself." That's resurrection power. Do you have it today? Do you have that kind of courage? Well, on this Easter morning, these are the practical, earthy benefits that the resurrected Savior wants to share with you to give you a new lifestyle if you choose to be his disciple. There's nothing unique about a defeated, frustrated human being. We're surrounded with them every day. But thanks be to God, in Christ we can become part of a new breed that's emerging on the scene of the world, people known as overcomers, people who are on top of life in spite of what's going on around them, who are winners in spite of the defeats at their feet. This is the power that Christ gives because he's alive, and it's yours, it's mine for the taking. I invite you, join Paul in this prayer, O God, that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. If I had one wish this morning, it's that beginning with the pastor and for every one of us, that we might know the resurrection power Jesus died and was resurrected to give us, that it might become an operational reality in our lives today, so that we can go out and be the light of the world and the hope of the world. There's never been a time in history where Jesus is more desperately needed and where contagious, hope-filled people are desperately searched for by the populace out there. Let this power flow into you and let it turn you on and go out into the world and shine for Jesus Christ wherever you are, in business, at home. Get on top of life by his power. Don't be just one of the mass who are defeated, fouled up, chaotic. That is not the norm for Christianity. Amen.